come to worship the Lord together on this really beautiful sunny morning. So it's lovely on this spring, real spring day, isn't it, to come and worship the Lord together. We begin with some words from Psalm 67, in which the psalmist says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May all the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, excuse me, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him." Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Lord, as we come before you this morning, we praise and thank you that you are the God who blesses your people. In countless ways you bless us, day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year. You bless us. You pour out your love upon us. You pour out your forgiveness upon us. You grant us your peace. You enable us, Lord, to talk to you and to dwell in your presence. And you enable us, Lord, to gather to worship you so that all the peoples may praise you. So, Lord, this morning as we come into your presence, we come once more seeking your forgiveness, asking, Lord, that you will cleanse us and strengthen us and renew us. And asking too, Lord, that you will lift up our hearts and our spirits before you, full of thanksgiving and praise, so that we might honour you and exalt your name, that we, your people, may praise you, our Saviour and our God. Amen. Now, our first song this morning is the song, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace." If you're able to, then please stand as we sing. Now Shirley's going to come and bring us our notices for the coming week.
Oh, good morning, everyone. There's not many notices today. As you can see, the table is set. And during this time of worship, we will be sharing in the bread and the wine, as we remember the sacrifice our Lord made for each and every one of us. And all those who truly love our Lord are welcome to join us in this celebration. Following the service, we do hope, if you can, to come over into the hall and enjoy some time of fellowship and refreshments. Wednesday at 8, we have prayer, praise and Bible study. Refreshments available from 7:30. Next Sunday we again meet for worship, which Sue again will be leading at 10:30. Please make a note, our church anniversary, our 95th anniversary, is May the 12th. And following the morning service, we will be having tea and cakes over in the hall, which we open it up to our neighbours. But you can invite any friends you want to come along. We do hope you will stay to share in the tea and cakes. That's on the 12th of May, which is our 95th anniversary.
Thank you, Shirley. I'm just going to add to what Shirley has said. If anybody wants to bring some cakes for us to share on the 12th of May, please do. They don't have to be homemade. They can be homemade or bought. As long as they've got a date that's up to the 12th, then we are fine. And if you want to invite people who've never been to church or are reluctant to come to church, just to come for that hour when we're going to have tea and cakes is a way of introducing people very gently to the church community. So do take it as an opportunity. If you've got a friend or a neighbour or somebody in your family who is very reluctant to engage in church at all or is very unsure, then just say that all they have to do is to come through the front gate of the hall from 12 o'clock till 1 1:30, and they can just come in and have a cup of tea or coffee or a cold drink and some cake, and they don't have to be anxious about it. So it's a good introduction, as Shirley said, to our neighbours and also to those that we know and that we would like to invite to come and just share our birthday celebration as a church. 95 years. It's quite some age that this church has been here, and it's a great thing to celebrate. Now, I've got a little challenge this morning for anybody who would like to take up this challenge. I have my little whiteboard here, and the challenge is, who can draw a straight line on the whiteboard? That's all you've got to do, a straight line. It can be either up or it can be across. But the challenge is, can you draw a line that is exactly horizontal or exactly vertical? Who wants to come and have a go? Come, Rebecca. Right. Are you going to draw a line across or up and down?
Up and down.
She's going to do an up and down line. She can do it completely straight. You can go a bit further. It's okay. Well done. Anybody else want to have a go? A completely straight line. Shouldn't be too difficult, should it? Malcolm will have a go. Malcolm's going from, he's going from left to right. Oh, not a very good pen, you might want to. Oh, it's okay. Right. Malcolm is going from left to right. Okay. No. Anybody else want to try? Yeah, is that you, Joe? Was that your sister putting your hand up, Jedediah? Was it? Oh, it's Rebecca. Right. Well, we're going to have a little look, and we're going to see if these lines really are completely vertical. I've brought with me this morning something called a spirit level. If you've ever done any DIY or building work, you will know what a spirit level is. A spirit level has got a spirit, little spirit vials inside it, and a big air bubble in each. And the air bubble moves according to whether something's straight. The air bubble is always level. And there are little markings to see whether it is level or not. So if you're building a brick wall, you might start at the bottom with a brick wall and it looks straight. But if you don't make sure it is exactly level, by the time your brick wall gets up this high, it will be like that. So let's test these lines. We'll do Malcolm's first. Let's see. Across here. Oh dear. The little air bubble is here. It should be in the middle. Right, we'll do Rebecca's. Oh no, that doesn't work either. Rebecca's, this air bubble, Rebecca's isn't off too much, but the air bubble is just tipping over the line. It should just be a little bit more like that. I'm very sorry that neither of you managed to do a completely straight line, but then you didn't know I was going to be measuring it with such precision, did you? So that really is me playing a little bit of a fast one and just giving you a bit of an extra challenge. Of course, builders use spirit levels to show whether something's flat or isn't, whether it's across or straight up. I've even used the spirit level when hanging wallpaper. Because as long as you get your first piece straight and you make sure it's completely straight, then hopefully, depending how straight your wall is, the rest will follow on completely straight. It shows whether something is straight, flat, going across, or up and down. You know, people too can be straight or a bit wonky. Not in the way they stand, although that too, sometimes I find myself standing, boom, or I stand leaning against something. But people can be straight or wonky in what they say and in what they do. And everybody gets things wrong. Everybody. Everybody gets things wrong and needs to be put right. If a wall is built wrong, by the time it gets to 6 bricks high, the only way you can sort it out, if it's wrong at the base, is to take all those bricks off and then redo it from the base going up. There's a house a little way along here who's had a brick wall, a plinth, brick plinth built recently, and I watched the builders doing it. And from where I was, the other side of the road, it's not very straight. It's getting more and more wonky. But they persevered and they just gave it a rustic look. So it's still standing. They didn't bother to take it right back down. But to my eye, well, I won't take the spirit level anywhere near it, because it really is not very straight. But we are not very straight either. And just like a brick wall can be remedied by taking it back to the basic, that's what Jesus lets us do. He lets us start again with him, again and again, to draw a new straight line in our lives and to follow it true. True, although we think of it as being something that is not a lie, true is also a word that's used in the building trade. They say if something is built true, then it's built exactly to the right dimensions and exactly straight. So Jesus allows us to start again and again with him and to follow the true line. We have our errors, our sins, wiped out when we come to Jesus, when we ask to be forgiven, because he loves us so much. He doesn't want to put up with wonky people inside. He wants us to be the best we possibly can, and he will make us the best we can possibly be in his time if we trust ourselves to his workmanship. We're going to sing another song now before we have our Bible reading, and the song is God Forgave My Sin in Jesus' Name. Please stand if you're able as we sing together. And now Patrick's going to come and bring us our Bible reading this morning. And our reading today comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. And it's page 1089, if you would like to use the church Bibles. Page 1089.
Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hand and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Amen.
Everyone is good at something. Probably at lots of things. Those people say, "Oh, I'm not good at doing this," or "I'm not good at doing that." They are good at something. And those people who others look at and think, "Oh, they're hopeless," they too are good at something. Everybody is good at something. And especially those people whose school reports say, "Can do better," or "Must do better." They too are good at something. Even those whose only capacity physically is to lie and be cared for are good at something. For we all have our place and our purpose And we are all a blessing in the lives of others. We all have things that we are good at. But we all also get things wrong. And human beings have got a very bad habit, all of them by nature, have got a very bad habit of blaming others. They want someone or something to blame when something goes wrong in their lives, even if there is nobody to blame. They want someone to blame. This picture shows some teasels. Some people use teasels in craft work. And at one time they were used to tease out wool. But they are very sharp. They're in the shape of a pine cone and they are very sharp and very prickly. Just use your imagination. Somebody is walking through this bit of woodland one day and they accidentally brush against the teasels. And their arms are scratched. What might they say? Well, they might say, oh, those teasels. Somebody should have dealt with them when they were smaller. They might say, whoever looks after this woodland doesn't keep it safe enough. They might say, oh, this ground here is so uneven, that's why I've scratched myself on these teasels. They might say, oh, the sun was in my eyes, and that's why I scratched myself on those teasels. I couldn't see where I was going. Oh, the shoes I'm wearing. These are really the wrong shoes for walking down this path. That's why I scratched myself on these teasels. The noise coming from over there, or the conversation of my companion, it just drew my attention away from where I was walking, and that's why I scratched myself on these teasels. Who said to me this morning I didn't need to have long sleeves for my walk in the woods? They are responsible for my scratched arms on these teasels. Who suggested I come walking here in the first place? They are responsible for the scratches on my arm because of the teasels. You can see, can't you, how human beings so easily find someone to blame in a situation where there is no blame at all. But oh, so easily we can say it was somebody else's fault. It was somebody else who made me go wrong in some way, even if it's a simple way. And humans are not only good at blaming, but human beings are very good at feeling wronged. It's not fair. Why should this happen? Why should that happen? Why have I got to do this? And why has that happened? And they're also good at holding grudges. That person upset me last year. I won't forget that person. 10 years ago, they really, really upset me. Human beings are very good at doing these kind of things. In short, we are not good at forgiveness unless we are the one who expects to receive it. We expect to be forgiven, but not to have to do the forgiven. That's the human state. And in the human state, resentments are all over the place. Blaming, upset is everywhere. But snow covers everything. There's a verse in the Bible that says, love covers a multitude of sins. And I think that's seen especially in snow. This photo was taken a couple of years ago in Valence Park, just up the road. And, of course, Valence Park is full of imperfections. There's litter, there's uneven ground, there's all sorts of things that are wrong. But when the snow has fallen, especially when it's fresh, especially when it hasn't been kicked up and moved around and made dirty again, all those imperfections just disappear. You can't see them anymore. Of course, they're still there, but you can't see them anymore. Many people become good at hiding their imperfections, feelings, resentments, or their own faults. It's something we learn as we grow up, and we get better and better and better out at it, until sometimes we get to extreme old age, and then we don't care and we just let it all show anyway. But we are very good at covering up our imperfections, not letting people see the things that we have that are wrong within us. You know, we are taught to forgive when we're children. I can remember as a child being told to say I was sorry. Tell your sister you're sorry. Or tell such and such you're sorry. Of course, being told to say you're sorry doesn't actually mean you are sorry. Being told to forgive someone actually sometimes just makes you resent it even more because you're being told to forgive. It's a polite thing to do. It's a good way of growing up, to be educated, to say sorry to others when you may have offended them. And it does create a more harmonious society. But is that real forgiveness? I don't know that it is. Once Peter asked Jesus how much he should forgive. How many times should I forgive? He said to Jesus. Obviously, something had really, really annoyed him. And he said, I keep forgiving that person and they keep doing the same thing to me again and again and again. How many times have I got to forgive them, Jesus? When can I just continue to be angry at them? And Jesus said, you can't count. There is no number big enough to say that you've reached the end of forgiveness. How much do you have to forgive? You have to forgive until you can forgive no more. Are you counting how many times you've forgiven someone? Then you haven't really forgiven them at all. And why should you forgive someone? Well, Jesus says, I forgive. Father, forgive them, he said, of those who were at the foot of the cross crucifying him. Again and again, he forgives us. Are we those who then can say, I will not forgive? Forgiveness does not mean that sin and wrongdoing has no consequences. And forgiving somebody does not necessarily take away the hurt that they have caused. But nonetheless, we, as disciples of Jesus, just like those first disciples of Jesus, are called to forgive. Called to be forgiving. I grew some raspberries in my garden. This is last year's crop. I still have some canes, if anybody wants some raspberry canes for their own gardens. But raspberries don't all ripen at once. It's just as well, really, because you don't want a glut of raspberries because they don't last. Once they're picked, they spoil very quickly, which is why they're so expensive in the shops. Little by little, they ripen. Raspberries are delicious fruit, but the fruit ripens gradually and it also grows on prickly branches. It sometimes takes time to get enough raspberries for a really nice bowl of raspberries because this one's too ripe. That one there that's about to fall off is a bit too ripe. This one in front of it is not quite ripe enough. That one that's greeny coloured is nowhere near ripe. And the one at the back is just ready to be picked and eaten. It happens very gradually. And sometimes real forgiveness happens gradually. It takes time. Bit by bit, forgiveness takes place. But for the disciple of Jesus, it is essential. When Jesus met the disciples after the resurrection in the passage that Patrick read to us, he said to his disciples, peace I give to you. Peace to you. This is the peace that he spoke about in chapter 14 of John's Gospel. My peace I give to you, he says. This is not just the usual Jewish greeting of peace. This is my peace. This peace is the peace that's to do with God's power to heal and restore and transform someone's life through the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. Jesus' peace is about wholeness and well-being. And Jesus tells his disciples, you will take over my ministry of forgiveness and peace with my authority. Jesus says to the disciples, when you forgive someone, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This is not a license to withhold forgiveness. Jesus does not say to his disciples, you can choose whether to forgive or not. He says, you must continue my ministry of peace, and that is a ministry of forgiveness. And that there is a power in forgiveness. You are to give, he says to his disciples, as I have given. Because giving is a big part of forgiving, isn't it? Even the very word forgive contains the word give. And it just shows that gesture that has to be made of giving something away when you forgive someone. And the disciples are called to forgive, as are all disciples of Jesus, even when the other person does not deserve it. Forgiveness in the world of Jesus Christ is not conditional. What if Jesus said to us, of course you can be forgiven, but only if you deserve it. You've got to come up to the mark first, and then I will forgive you. What if we say to others, yes, you can be forgiven, but first, you have to earn your forgiveness. You have to make me feel that you've acknowledged you're wrong, and then you will be forgiven. That is not the Christian way. The Christian way is the way to forgive, even if the other person does not deserve it. Is that humanly possible? It's not humanly possible. But it is spiritually possible with the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to forgive. Of course, some things are easy to forgive, aren't they? Some things we forgive and we forget. Some hurts run very deep indeed. But Jesus says, forgive. Forgive as I have forgiven you. Forgive as is commanded in the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Forgive as you have been forgiven. And forgiveness has a healing power. Because my mum was a nurse, we had a large first aid kit. If we hurt ourselves as children, unless it was very serious, my sister once broke her ankle jumping down from swinging on a lamppost. I once broke my elbow falling off a horse. If it was serious, we got to go to the hospital or the doctor. But if it wasn't, Mum treated us out of that first aid kit. When I was 4 years old, somebody living a few doors down had a pet monkey and it clawed my head. Did I get taken to the hospital? No, I didn't. My mum washed it and used little strips to pull together the wounds. I had the home operated first aid kit. When I shut my thumb in a car door and it went completely black, did I get taken to the hospital? No. I got sat down at the kitchen table where Mum put a hot sterilised needle through my nail to release the blood and stop the pain. When my sister and I used to fall over and have cuts and grazes, out would come the bright yellow acroflavin and be daubed all over us. When we had ulcers in our mouth or similar things, out would come the gentian violet. These days only used on horses because it's mildly carcinogenic. But used on us children, we had purple mouths and yellow knees because we were treated from home. But we were treated with love. We were treated in a way that would help us to heal. And we both survived. So that says something, doesn't it? We only went to the doctors if it was necessary, and that's because when my mum was young, you had to pay to go to the doctors. No NHS in those days, and it was expensive, and people couldn't afford it. So home treatments were more possible. Of course, my sister and I grew up in the era of the NHS. My mum worked for the NHS. But nonetheless, we had home remedies in all sorts of ways. Forgiveness is a remedy for healing, not cuts and grazes, but healing the emotions. And Christian forgiveness is a very powerful thing. And it's not about how we feel, whether we feel like forgiving someone. It's about obeying Jesus' command. And there's important things to know about Christian forgiveness. The first is that it does us good to forgive other people. Think about that person who may have hurt you 10 years ago. If you choose to forgive them, it makes no difference to them at all. They might have forgotten the incident. You might not have seen them in the last 10 years. You may not have spoken of what happened. But forgiveness makes a big difference to you. If you choose to let go of the resentment and the hurt and the pain, then it doesn't have the power to harm you. So forgiveness does us good when we are doing the forgiving. Not because it makes us feel somehow superior, but because it heals the hurt within. Forgiveness does us good. Forgiveness does other people good as well. It feels good to have relationships restored because forgiveness has been offered and received. It heals relationships. And forgiveness transforms communities. Where forgiveness works well, communities are strong. Whether they are the community of a family, whether they are the community of a neighbourhood, or the community of a church, or the community within a nation. Where forgiveness works well, people are emotionally healthy and strong. And Jesus knew this when he said to his disciples, "You must forgive." For he said to them, forgiveness is not all about doing something nice for somebody who's hurt you. It's about making sure that you are right with your Father in heaven and there is no barrier between you and the God who loves you. How do you overcome the barriers you make with the Lord? You forgive. For after all, the greatest example of forgiveness is found in the Lord Jesus himself when he says, forgive. And if he can forgive us, who are we to say, I'm not going to forgive them, or them, or them? Having done something terrible, how can they be forgiven? For forgiveness is not about blessing the other, but about obeying the Lord our God. We should be disciples who learn to forgive. To forgive freely from the bottom of our hearts in order that we might know the full blessing of the Lord. In order that we might be the most effective for the Lord. In order that we might live a life that is whole and healthy in the sight of the Lord and truly be his disciples. Forgive, says Jesus, and then you can laugh. Forgive, says Jesus, then you are free. Forgive, says Jesus, then not only will you give love, but love will be received by you as well. Forgiveness has a healing, transforming power. Let's learn, grow, develop the mindset of forgiveness. That's not to say it's always easy. That's not to say it doesn't sometimes cost us dearly. But the command of Jesus is forgive. Forgive as you are forgiven. And then you can live in peace. We're going to sing a song now before we come to prayer and then communion. And it reminds us of what Jesus has done for us. Please stand if you're able. Sit down. As we come to prayer this morning, there are obviously lots and lots of things going on which we can pray for, and we can only scratch the surface of the needs around and about us in prayer. But as we pray, please continue to remember in your prayers Anne Pooley. She came out of hospital on Wednesday. And is back in Bennett's Castle care home, but she is still not well at all. But she is being visited by the community health workers. So please continue to remember her in your prayers as she receives the medication that hopefully will make her better again. So we continue to pray for her and for Sue Lucas as she recovers from the pacemaker that's been fitted for Sue. Also, Pam drew to my attention this morning something I wasn't aware of, maybe you are, maybe not, in that there was a stabbing just down the road in Dagenham, which took place yesterday. Two men have suffered stabbing injuries, and one of them has died, just somewhere around Flambard Road. So we do, as it's so local to us particularly, remember that situation in our prayers. Is there anything that anybody has here that is they would like us to pray for particularly this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer together, shall we? Lord Jesus, as we come to you in prayer today, we come knowing that each and every one of us has got things wrong. Not just once, but again and again. Not just last week, but probably even today, or yesterday, or the day before. That we have failed to do things and say things as we should, perhaps neglected you. Or we have done things and said things and thought things that are contrary to your purpose for us. Maybe, Lord, we have just failed to be the people you would have us be. Or have held attitudes of heart that are hard and unforgiving. Lord, you know us in the very depths of our being. You know our particular weaknesses. You know our frailties. You know where we have gone wrong and where we have done our very best to serve you. So we come once more asking that you will forgive us. For the sins that we're aware of and those that we don't even know we have committed. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to receive your forgiveness in all its fullness, because we know you are not mean about forgiving. You forgive generously and lovingly to the very point of your death. Lord Jesus, thank you that we are forgiven by you. And as we thank you for this forgiveness, Lord, we pray for those who are hurting because they have been so injured by someone else that they find it impossible to forgive. Grant them the grace, we pray, to forgive, that they too may be healed. We pray for those who know that they are unforgiven and the relationships that are broken by unforgiveness. And we pray, Lord, that we will hear you, the advice of your word, to not hold on to anger, but to set things straight before the sun goes down, so that unforgiveness will not rule in our lives and in our communities. May we be forgiving and heal those who find it so difficult to forgive or to be forgiven. And Lord, we thank you for all of those who work for good. Today the London Marathon will be run, and a huge number of those runners will be running not just to please themselves, but to raise money for charities and good causes. And we thank you for all of those who give of their time and their energy and their service to care for other people generously. And we pray for the needs of all those who are served by the care of others, be it in health or in time of need or in time when support is so vital to them. And we thank you that we live in a country where people are willing to give of themselves to help other people. But we pray, Lord, for all of those who need the greatest help of all, yours and your saving grace. And we pray for the revelation of that grace to people in our community, people that we know, perhaps members of our own family, people who are our neighbours and our friends. Open their eyes to you, Lord, and the power of your love to forgive and to transform their lives as they are drawn into your service. Lord, today we pray for those people that we know. Particularly we pray this morning for Anne Pooley, who's back in Bennett's Castle care home again, but still not properly well. And we pray, Lord, that you will lay your healing hand upon her and bring her back to herself again. We pray, Lord, too, for Sue Lucas, that you will continue to heal her and to restore her. We thank you for the improvement that that pacemaker has brought to her health. But we know, Lord, that there is still a way to go. And we pray for your healing to rest upon her. And we pray, Lord, for everyone here today who needs your healing in whatever way that may be. Whether it is healing from pain and discomfort, healing from some particular condition or difficulty, healing, Lord, from something social or something in relationships or something financial. In whatever part of life, Lord, anyone here is hurting, we ask for your healing and we ask for your peace. We ask for your transforming power and we ask for your grace. For you are merciful and loving, and we trust in you. And Lord, we pray for the community in which we live, particularly today. We pray for those two young men involved in that stabbing near Flambard Road. We don't know, Lord, whether anyone else was involved or whether it was just the two of them. But Lord, we know that one has died and one is injured. And Lord, we pray for all of those who mourn the loss of that young man today. We pray, Lord, that you will comfort them, that you will grant them, Lord, the support that they need in their grieving, and Lord, that you will bring them peace even in their sorrow. And we pray for that young man who is injured, that you will lay your healing hand upon him, and Lord, that he too will know your forgiveness and your peace, and Lord, that he too will know your full healing, inner as well as outer. And we pray for those who love and care for him too, that they too might know your healing. And Lord, we pray that you will be at work in our community to bring people to their senses, to bring people to a place where they no longer seek after drink or drugs, where they no longer chase after anger and resentment, where they no longer feel that they are against somebody else and need to carry a knife, or fearful of someone else and need to carry a weapon, but where they can live at peace, neighbours with one another, where they can live in harmony with one another. We pray for this situation, and today we pray for all who mourn, whatever the circumstances of their bereavement. Grant them, we pray, your healing and your peace. We pray for our country, Lord. We know there is so much that needs your healing hand in our country today. And we pray, Lord, for this country in which we live. We pray, Lord, for the National Health Service. We thank you, Lord, that there is health care for everyone. But Lord, we pray for those who work incredibly long hours because there's not enough staff, with those who try and balance the budgets for each and every healthcare provider, for those who care for others in the community where there's not enough time and not enough money. We pray, Lord, for the caring role that takes place within the NHS and beyond the NHS in our country. And we pray for it. We pray, Lord, for the safety of people in our country, for the police force, and for those who have other roles in ensuring people's safety and ensuring justice for all. We pray, Lord, that you will be at work to bring to the right all of those aspects of the country that make it easy to live here. For those who provide clean water for us to drink, for those who take away the rubbish from our doorsteps. We pray, Lord, for the smooth working of society. And we pray that you'll fill our hearts with thankfulness for all that you provide. We pray, Lord, for those who live in poverty in our country today and who don't have access to clean drinking water, a place to sleep, or the assurance of food on their tables, who don't have access to choices in life because poverty robs them of such things. And we pray, Lord, that you will bring such situations to an end so that all in our society might have what they need and live in freedom and in peace. And we pray for this world. Lord, we know it's a world where there is so much inequality, where there is such a great need for peace and for healing and for hope. We know, Lord, that we live in a world where there is violence, nation against nation, community against community, person against person. We know we live in a world where the very geography of our world is unequal, where there are places that are in drought, places that are flooded, places that have to deal with earthquake and with fire and with tornadoes and with volcanoes. And Lord, we pray for this world because we know that you love this world. You gave yourself for this world. Lord Jesus, we pray for peace in our world. Not just peace between neighbours, but peace with God. Not just the healing of wounds, but the healing of spirits. Lord, we pray for our world. And Lord, we pray that you will hear our prayers. Not just the prayers that are spoken out loud, but the prayers of our hearts. Not just the prayers we can put into words, but the groanings of our spirits. And Lord, that you will answer, and that your will may be done, and so your name may be glorified. For we live to thank and praise you, Lord, who have done so much for us. You who are our Saviour and our God. Amen. We come now around our communion table. If anybody knows and loves Jesus, then please eat the bread as it is served to you. And as you receive the cup, keep it. And then when we're all served, we'll drink together in thanksgiving to Jesus. But if there's anyone here today who's not sure if they will love and follow Jesus for the rest of their earthly life and into glory, then allow the bread and the wine to pass you by. And ask the Lord Jesus to show you the power of his love to heal and forgive and to transform your life. We can read from the words of the Apostle Paul, the letter he wrote to the Corinthian Christians, and he said to them, "For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself. That on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes.'" This is only ordinary bread. This is only ordinary wine. Well, it's not even wine, it's just blackcurrant juice. But in these elements we remember the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember and give thanks. Let's pray words of thanksgiving for the bread and the wine. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us ordinary bread and just juice to remember you by. But we know, Lord, that your sacrifice is truly great and that we are those who are wholly blessed to have been granted forgiveness a new life in you. So, Lord, as we eat this bread, remind us that your body hung upon the cross in agony, that you suffered that place of abandonment for each one of us. May we give you thanks and gratitude. And as we drink the wine, remind us again, Lord, of your words at that Last Supper, that this is the cup of the new covenant sealed by your blood. And we remember your blood poured out for us and for many. Your blood that heals us and restores us and grants us a place with your people in glory. May we be ever thankful, Lord Jesus, for bread and wine, symbols of body and blood, symbols of hope and forgiveness and life. Amen. Now, Shirley and Lola are going to come and help me to serve communion this morning. Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat in memory of me." In the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." Christ's blood was shed for each one of us. Let us drink and be thankful. Your death, O Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your final coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Christ. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is the hymn, "O Lord my God, how great thou art." Please will you stand if you're able as we sing together. And so may we go into God's world with joy and peace and love and hope in our hearts. And may the blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.